Okay. What a beautiful day out there. It's warming up. I think it's safe to say spring is here. Huh? Yeah. No more blizzards?
Knock on wood.
No more blizzards? Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, and we'll stand. And let's open up to 198, one of my personal favorites. Sometimes I wish I had 1,000 tongues to sing praise to the Lord. Amen. Imagine what it's going to be like in heaven singing glory to his name. The incredible Charles Wesley. Over 1,000 tongues to sing. We will sing all 4 as we stand. Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord. 198.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of His grace.
Yes,
my gracious Master and my God, assist me to Jesus, the thing that calms my fears, that bids my soul proceed. 'Tis music in the senses, it is life and health and peace. Woo! He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the
be seated, church. Oh, how we love that. Especially that fourth stanza. He breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. Amen? Folks, you know, there's one thing that I find most Christians don't understand about breaking the power of canceled sin is that Jesus Christ not only died for sin, but Jesus Christ died unto sin. That means when you see sin in the Bible, that's not talking about your individual personal sins, plural. That's talking about your sin nature. Jesus Christ passed judgment on the sin nature. It's not my message this morning, but it's a good one. Amen. Because the power of canceled sin is broken by the cross. He not only judged our sins, He judged our sin nature. Our sin nature. That's important. I'm going to preach on that one of these Sunday mornings. Glory to God. All right, let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to John's Gospel this morning. John chapter 13, beloved. Oh. I tell you, I had fun preparing this morning's message. I always do. But particularly here in John chapter 13, one of the most incredible passages in all the Bible we find here in the 13th of John. It boggles my mind, church, what we're about to read. Because we're talking about the Creator of the universe and all things that are therein. And what he is about to do will shock you. Look with me in John chapter 13. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. I am so thankful for the Savior today. I am so thankful that he keeps us clean. Amen? Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be very clean. I'd be full of sin and filthy and vile. But through him, we're sanctified, washed, purified, Glory to God. Look with me in chapter 13 this morning, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning a sermon I've entitled, The Lord's Last Token of Love. The Lord's Last Token of Love. Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you this morning for Jesus Christ. Lord, as we read the words before us in the 13th of John's Gospel, we are absolutely floored by the fact that the King of Eternity would stoop and humble himself to the point of washing the disciples' feet as a common house slave. Lord, you have left us an example that we should follow in your steps. Lord, I thank you this morning that there is nothing that thou couldst call us to do that we are above. No, Lord, anything that you would have us to do is worthy to be done. We thank you today, Lord, for the foot washing of chapter 13. We thank you, Lord, that through Jesus we are cleansed. Oh, we are sanctified. Oh, we are purified by the hands of the Son of God. Wow, what a picture. We thank you for it. And Lord, we ask your blessings upon your word this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, beloved, by close observation here, you will find the Passover and the Lord's Supper linked together. This is significant because the Passover commemorated deliverance from Egyptian darkness and bondage, while the Lord's Supper supplies the emblems of redemption from the darkness and dominion of sin. Amen? And what Pharaoh was to Moses, Judas was to Jesus Christ. While the consequences were the same, the sudden destruction of the enemy and the triumph of the Lord and his people were the same. Amen? And it was here at the supper that Jesus gave to his disciples the farewell token of his self-humiliating love to them. I see four things this morning from our text that I need us to see. Real critically important. We need to see what. We need to see when. We need to see how. And we need to see why. The first thing I want you to observe this morning, beloved, is notice what he did. Look with me here in verse number 3. John chapter 13 and verse 3, we read, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, to wash the feet of guests at a feast was the work of a house slave. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. How he humbled himself, how he emptied himself to become one of us and to teach us what this life is all about. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, it says, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. That's why he came, to make himself a sacrifice for you and me. Here he is in John 13 and verse 5, washing the feet of his disciples. Look at it. Verse 5, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Beloved, this shows us clearly that our Lord would have our feet, that's our walk, as well as our hearts, to be clean. Amen? And I'm so glad that he's just the one to do it. He's still washing our feet. He's still cleansing our way. He's still keeping those who love him clean and separated from this wicked world. Do you know what happens to your feet when you walk around? If you just don't take a bath or a shower for a few days. Ooh! Begin to stink a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. Little bit of body odor. Now, Jesus is not giving them a bath. He's only washing their feet. Now, in biblical times, they didn't have Fords and Chevys and Dodge Caravans to drive around in. So they walked around in open-faced sandals. And they didn't have paved roads like we have today, nothing but dirt. So their feet would get dirty just walking to the neighbor's house. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, hold your place in John. Flip over to 2 Corinthians for a moment. You and I, like these disciples, have to walk through this world, though we're not of this world. And how many of you knows this morning that as we walk through this world, it tries to contaminate you? Oh yeah, everybody's shaking their head. I know. We all have that, right? Now look at chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians verse 1. Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Wait a minute, time out, church. I thought Jesus is supposed to cleanse us. Oh, he has. But you have a responsibility for daily. Hey, do you bathe? Do you shower? Do you wash your hair at least once a week, I hope? Well, if we cleanse ourselves physically, how much more important is it to cleanse ourselves? Look at it. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. With Dial soap? No! From the all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's outer man and inner man. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Listen to me. God has given us a method whereby we may be cleansed in that daily. Listen, any Christian who's walking around with a dirty heart and a guilty conscience, it's their own fault. It's not God's fault and it's not your mama's. Because God has given you everything you need to be sanctified in this life. I'm here to tell you this morning. As a loving father arrived home from work one night, he saw his little girl, Amy, who had been playing in the mud that day. He said to her, "Oh my, Amy, you're pretty dirty today." In her childish way, she replied, "Yes, I know, Daddy, but I'm much prettier clean." Don't you know that's how we are with the Lord? We get dirty, but we're much prettier, clean, in his sight. Amen? Oh, little Amy knew something from the Dallas Morning News. And I quote, "Dirtiest kid in town." A fashion store in Arlington, Texas recently sponsored a contest to find the dirtiest kid in town. The award is $1,000. Two conditions must be met. One, the dirt must be naturally accumulated and not applied. Two, the parents must admit that their child is dirty. Listen, the contest aims to recognize those kids who like to look natural. There's a great spiritual truth in this story. We get dirty naturally, so we must be cleansed supernaturally. Amen? Doesn't that make sense? We get dirty naturally, so we must be cleansed spiritually. Oh, glory to God. I'm so glad this morning. What he did, he washed their feet. He washed their feet. But something else this morning, I want you to notice when he did it. Back to our text in John 13. Notice when he did it. Verse 1, we read, "Now, before the feast of the Passover," Jesus would be the Passover. Amen? We are just days before Gethsemane here. Look at it. Days before Calvary. "When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father." Did you see that? When did he do it? When he knew the time had come for him to depart out of this world. Jesus, look at it. "Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." I'm here to tell you this morning, I see some smiles on your faces because you know where I'm going. He loves you unconditionally. He will love you unto the end. Amen? And look at it. Verse number 3. We read, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." When did he do it? At the very hour where he was to be sacrificed for their sins and for our sins. He did it when he was about to depart. Why? Because Jesus wanted his disciples to be clean after his departure. And he even sent a very special comforter to keep them that way. He didn't leave them dirty. He didn't leave them in the mud. When he went back to heaven, he left them sanctified. Glory to God. How do I know that? Because it says right here, he washed them. He washed them himself. Now listen, this humble act was performed by the Lord in view of his awful death on the cross. And glory to God, that was to follow this cleansing. Jesus is fixing to go up to Golgotha. He has his torturous self-sacrifice for sin right before his eyes. But he's not thinking about himself. Listen, he's not concerned about his own agony and sufferings just ahead. He's thinking of the well-being of his disciples. So he begins to wash their feet. Beloved, how easy it is for you to... Listen, how easy it is for you and me to get so taken up with our own problems and our own little four walls that we forget that there's a world of hurting people out there that need Jesus Christ. Beloved, you have an awesome responsibility to go and tell them that Jesus loves his own unto the end. Amen? Listen very carefully. How self-centered, unsympathetic, and uncaring I find so many Christians to be. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, so I'm all right. Well, goody, hoo, boo, hoo. What about your neighbor? What about these old folks down the nursing home the twins go to? What about these college reprobates at Harvard? I mean, folks, they need Jesus Christ. And we need to be concerned about that. Jesus is trying to show us that we need to reach out to those who need him. You know what the definition of joy is? J, Jesus first. O, others second. Y, you last. You last. If you get that one truth through your head, you will begin to live a sacrificial life. Listen now, Matthew 25. Go with me to Matthew and hold your place in John. Matthew chapter 25. Here's what we need to do. Jesus Christ left us an example that we must follow in this life. Look at verse 34. "Then shall the king," who's the king? Oh yeah, that's Jesus Christ, "say unto them on his right hand,
Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why, Lord? For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye've done it unto me. Listen to me, beloved. Jesus is saying that whatever you do for the kingdom's sake, you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it, verse 40. Whatever ye have done unto the least of one of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Folks, you know what we need to do? When that fella was, he hung himself, and I went to his hospital room, I find him hanging, and he's blue and almost dead. I went and took him down. Why? That's Jesus. Amen. Whoever you minister to, whoever you go to, whoever you sacrificially take care of, that's Jesus. He says, you did it unto me. Whatever you do, you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Now, from the Concise Color Encyclopedia of Nature, an article entitled The Cowbird. One of the best known social parasites is the cowbird. This bird does not bother about making its own nest. Instead, the cowbird simply lays its eggs in the nests of other birds. Its favorite choices are the nests of sparrows and starlings, as these are much smaller than the cowbird. And when the young cowbird hatches from its egg, its very first action is to throw out the other eggs and or nestlings. The young cowbird then does nothing but take food from its foster parents until it is big enough to expel them as well. You know what the cowbird is a picture of? Me, myself, and I. Get out of my way, feed me, give me what I want, and shut up. That's the cowbird for you. Nasty! That's a nasty bird! Why would God make something like that? It's an illustration. Amen? That's a real... I know, it's insane. But listen, what's wrong with the cowbird? The cowbird only lives for self. He takes from others what's rightfully not his. Cowbirds don't understand the principle of serving others. Amen? Listen, we've seen what he did. We've seen when he did it. But thirdly this morning, notice how he did it. Back in John 13, notice how he did it. Look at verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Verse 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You got to grab hold of this truth, beloved. How did Jesus do this? He did it full of love. How would you do, what would you think if a guy knocked you down? Yes, yes. Can I help you? Yeah, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Jesus? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want this gospel track or not? You know? Just nasty, rude. You know, a lot of Christians operate in the flesh. And they don't understand that... I know. They don't understand that it is the love of Jesus Christ that will draw the lost sinner, not the wrath. Amen? It is the love of the Son of God for them on Calvary that will attract them and not the divine punishment to come. Listen, beloved. He did it lovingly. Listen. It was the love of Christ beaming in his eyes, throbbing in his words, and dropping at his fingers as he washed the disciples' feet. Could you imagine sitting there on the stool and Jesus Christ, you're sitting there and Jesus takes your feet and he's washing your feet and he's looking up into your eyes with eyes full of love, amen? Full of compassion, full of concern for their well-being. Listen carefully. His loving touch, ooh, this'll preach, will make all the difference in your life. When the Master touches you with his precious hands, you'll never be the same. Amen? Listen now. His loving touch was as gentle as any mother's ever was for her newborn. He also did it voluntarily. No law or custom required the Son of God to get on his hands and knees and wash their feet. He did it lovingly, of his own free will and choice. It was an expression of his great love wherewith he loves us. Also, he did it perfectly. Amen. You know that whatever Jesus does, he does it perfectly. You know that? Whatever Jesus does, he does it perfectly. Listen, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that after Jesus washed their feet, they were still dirty? Do you think he missed a spot? Do you think he did a bad job? No! He's the Son of God. Anything he does is perfect. They were clean, every whit. Now, when Jesus cleanses something, you better believe it's clean. How did he do it? He did it lovingly. He did it voluntarily. He did it perfectly. Go to John chapter 15. Flip over a page. You'll be there. Look at verse 3. Now ye are what? Clean. Through the word which I've spoken unto you. You know this power in Jesus' word? There's so much power in the words in red that as you read them, you are cleansed on the inside. Wow. Listen, go to chapter 17. Look at verse 15. Jesus says in verse 15 of chapter 17, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Don't you know that Jesus is still praying that prayer for you and I today? And don't you know the Father answers that by his Holy Spirit? Oh yeah, he does. He does it by the washing of water by the word from the Gospel Herald, the Black Prince. For 6 centuries, you know I'm a historian, for 6 centuries, the effigy of the Black Prince has stood in Canterbury Cathedral in England. But until 1978, no one in the world knew that the statue was actually made of pure gold. Its blackness had been caused by centuries of grime buildup, which had been covered over by a clear enamel, creating a shiny black finish. It's a statue of the 14th century Edward, Prince of Wales, who fought so heroically in the wars with France and died before assuming the throne. In 1978, listen, a janitor who was polishing the effigy accidentally pierced through the accumulated grime and discovered that the Black Prince, so named because of the black armor that he wore, was actually a beautiful statue of pure gold. It is now considered to be the most magnificent piece of art in all of England. And that's how many of God's children are. They got this grime, this blackness. But underneath, listen to me, they're saved. Underneath, they're shining like gold because the Holy Spirit is in there. You know what the Lord has to do? He has to pierce through that cake of grime and blackness and scrape it off. Sometimes that can be painful. But I'm glad he's good at it. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad we've seen what he did. He washed their feet. We've seen when he did it, when he was going back to glory. We've seen how he did it. He did it lovingly. But finally, beloved, listen very carefully and notice why he did it. Why did he do it? Back in John chapter 13, look with me at verse number 6. He explains why. In verse 6, then cometh he, Jesus, to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now, notice here, beloved, that once you're washed in the blood, your sins are forgiven. You're cleansed
Positionally, judicially, you're saved. Okay? So when Jesus says your feet need washing, that is daily sanctification. That is so that we can have fellowship and communion with the Lord. Not so that we get saved again. Okay? Now, I see two reasons why he did it in closing. First, he did it because it was necessary. Look at verse number 8. He did it because it was necessary. Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Beloved, listen very carefully. Jesus washed them because it was critically necessary. He did it, and listen, unless you are a monk or a hermit, you're going to come into contact daily with the soiling influences of this filthy world. Amen? Listen, I hate going to the mall. I hate going to the mall. And when the girls want to go to the mall, I say, "Have fun, ladies." Or if I happen to be with them, and I have to be with them, I have my Bible with me, and I say, "Take your time, girls. I got the word. Take your time. I don't care if you take all day." But the reason I hate going to the mall is because women don't know how to dress today.
Oh, no kidding.
Hello? Women don't, listen to me, let me make a statement. Women dress today intentionally to draw men's eyes to their body. Oh, we're getting right down personal today, aren't we, preacher? Yeah. Because women don't know how to dress. They wear these jeans so tight they look like they're painted on. You know, and now spring is here. Oh, they got to run out and get their wardrobe for the summer now. Watch out. Watch out. And that is because most women don't understand how God made man. And most men, for that matter, don't understand how God made a woman. Right? So, I hate going to mall. Why? I don't want to be contaminated. I don't want my eyes seeing any other woman but my wife. Amen? So, listen carefully. Contamination is contracted by the Spirit, and it must be washed away. Lord, that filthy language. Lord, that filthy music. Lord, that filthy, evil conversation of the world just vexes you. That's how you know you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit in you can't stand that. You know, on the news this week, they're showing all this stuff down in Baltimore. And I tell you, almost every person they're interviewing is dropping the F-bomb. F-ing this, F-ing that, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you shut up until you learn how to speak like a normal human being? Because that's what their father teaches them to say. Listen carefully. 1 John 3:3, "And every man or woman that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." It said every. Every. See, every one of us are supposed to be purifying ourselves daily. And there, he has given us the method to purify yourself. "Dear Pastor, you know, I got this problem, I got this temptation I can't overcome." And I was telling him, "Get your nose in that book and I guarantee you'll have victory." Guarantee? God, listen to me. It's not a hit or miss. It's not a maybe, sometimes, possibly. It's a sure, definite deliverance. The Word of God. It's alive. It is powerful. It can do for you what you can't do. Amen? That's how powerful this word is. First, why did he do it? He did it because it was necessary. Second, he did it to give us an example. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." I love that verse. Jesus didn't deny that he's our Lord and Master. He is. The question is, are we allowing him to be Lord and Master? Verse 14. "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." What's that mean? Well, we'll talk about that. "For I have given you a what? Example. That ye should do as I have done unto you." Oh, beloved, in closing, I want to speak on a really important topic that Jesus is trying to drill through their thick skulls. You and I need to wash each other's feet. I'm not saying to come into church with a basin of water and a face cloth and start going to take her shoes off and blah, blah, blah. No, there are churches that do that. Yeah, he says, "Don't forget my knee, Pastor." Pump along Cassidy over here. Praise the Lord for him. But folks, listen to me. It means spiritually we're to help each other. Amen? How do we do that? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. There's a number of ways. We pray for each other, number one. We pray for each other. Amen? For victory in each other's lives. We pray. And then number two, we go. We put our arm around that sister, that brother. Hey, let me make you a cup of tea. Let me bake you a cake. Whatever it might be, ladies. And we minister to them. He's talking about ministering to one another, folks. When he's saying in verse 15, you should do as I have done unto you. It might include a foot washing, I don't know. But he's whatever the need is, we're willing to do that for one another. Amen? Why? He left us an example. If Jesus could do it, what's my excuse? Amen? Listen carefully. Jesus is trying to tell them that they would need to develop a servant's heart. He's saying, I want you and you and you and you to be willing to do whatever it is that my Father calls you to do. Beloved, we have a bunch of saved people in the world today who don't want to get their hands dirty in gospel ministry. They don't want to come down off their high horse and humble themselves and talk to that poor lost alcoholic about Jesus. Look at verse 17. If ye know these things, what's the next word? Happy. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be happy? You know what we've got? We've got a world full of miserable people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just walk out the door and boom, hit you right in the face. You know? I had a lady this week. I was driving. My wife was in the car. I'm minding my own business. And she cuts in front of me. You ever get road rage? I had to repent of that. But listen, she cuts in front of me and then throws me the bird. Like I did something to her. And Mary, my wife, oh, she's honoring. She's like, why are you on her? You take my husband. Don't you do that to my husband. She's ready to wallop her. You know? Honey, don't get road rage. You know?
That happened to us this morning.
It happened to you this morning. You see that? I tell you, they're demon possessed. They just want to bring you down. You see? But you know what? Listen very carefully. Verse 17 says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You see that? Instead of getting mad at that person, oh, hello to you too. You know, pray for them. They need divine deliverance from demons, man. Pray for them. Pray for them to get saved. But I love that verse 17. He did all this to say that. You will be the most happy people. You know what the word blessed means? Blessed. It means happy. It means happy. You want to be blessed? Do what Jesus did. My kids, when they were little, all four of them would have DWJD bracelets. Yeah. Dad, do what Jesus did. WWJD. What would Jesus do? I changed that years ago to DWJD. Do what Jesus did. Amen. We need to do. Do you want to be happy? Do what Jesus did. Let's close in Matthew chapter 11. Watch what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 11. I love this. I'm so glad that he came and he left an example for me and you. And if we follow his example, we will be the happiest of all people on planet Earth. You know what the problem with the Muslims are? They have no joy, they have no peace because they have no Savior. My heart goes out to these people. They have no Savior. Jesus says, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and what? Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here's what I want you to see in closing. Verse 28, 29, he says, if you do as I did, you will find what? Begins with an R. Rest. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to just take a nap and rest and, you know, sit on the recliner? Nope. He's talking about serving him. You will find rest in serving him. Woo! This is so good. Why? Jesus says, if you take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke is something they would put around the necks of the oxen, and they would work. Those oxen would work and tread out the corn, right? And he says, that's what I want you to do for me. And as you're doing that,
I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Then he says, verse 30, my yoke, my service, is easy. You know it's easy to serve the Lord? I want to shock you this morning. It's not rocket science. My yoke is easy, and my burden, it's light. He's saying, I am going to make it by my Holy Spirit, qualify that, by my Holy Spirit in you, I am going to make your serving me easy. Oh, I like this message. Because Bob Allman doesn't have to do it. Jesus Christ in you will do it. Glory to God. The question this morning is, do you want to be like him? Do you want to do what Jesus did? If so, you'll have to be willing to stoop to whatever he asks you to do. In closing, let me give you this and I'll be done. I am so thankful this morning for the Lord's last token of love. Did you know that the bee is held in more honor than any other insect? Not because she labors, but because she labors for others. You know that, a honeybee? She labors not for herself. She labors for others. The great Gypsy Smith was once preaching a sermon he entitled Stripe Washing. His text was Acts 16:34. When the Philippian jailer believed in Christ, he treated Paul and Silas kindly. He washed their stripes and rejoiced, believing in God. Gypsy Smith said, and I quote, "And if you truly receive the Savior, my brothers and sisters, your conduct will also be so revolutionized that you'll be just like this Philippian jailer." Gypsy Smith referred to this change of behavior as stripe washing. That is, being willing to do whatever it is that your father needs you to do whenever he needs you to do it. You know what we need to be? We need to be stripe washers. Stripe washers. Whatever the Lord needs me to do, I'm willing to do it. Why? Because he was willing. Oh, beloved, how willing was he to wash the disciples' feet? Indeed, this foot washing was our Lord's last token of love. And the question is, what token of love are you performing to show the Lord how much you love him? What token of love? What sacrifice are you making? What service are you rendering? How are you showing Jesus that you truly, truly have made him Lord of your life? Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the last token of love. That, Lord, you left an example before you went to the cross of foot washing. Of all things, Lord, the lowliest, meanest task of a house slave was to wash the feet of the guests. That's what you did. And Lord, in so doing, you've taught us, number one, that we need to be washed by you. And number two, that we need to be willing to do whatever it is you call us to do. We thank you and we love you this morning, Lord. And we ask you to make us stripe washers and foot washers and lowly servants of thee. Lord, I'm thankful that there's no higher ups and lowers down in this church. I'm thankful, Lord, that we're all sinners saved by grace and we're all servants of the King of Kings. Lord, I'm thankful that we understand here in this church that whatever you call us to do, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and praise forever and ever. For thou art Lord and Master and King. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, for a time of invitation. And we will stand for our closing hymn. Let's go to hymn number 60. And as we go about to serve him in whatever capacity he calls us to, we need to be led. We need to be led in doing so. We'll sing in hymn number 60, the first, the second, and the fourth. Praise the Lord. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us and guide us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. my tender care. In thy blessed pasture sit us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Blessed
is a prayer, asking the Lord as our shepherd to lead us. And he does. Aren't you glad that he does? Where would we be without the leading of our shepherd? Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Mother Carl to dismiss us in prayer. And if you can, tonight at 6, we'll be worshiping the Lord again. I pray you, some of us have to work. I pray you'd have a blessed week, a happy week, as we are the humble servants of the Lord. Carl?
Thank you so much. For blessing us with the ability to come out this morning to Lord, to give you praise, Lord, to be in your house, to be here just to hear your message, Lord, to get the word that you have for us as you blessed our pastor with the ability to bring it to us in the manner you'd have us to hear it, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd just give us all the ability to humbly go forth and to bring forth your word to those who need to hear it, that we come in contact with, and to be the messenger you'd have us to be, Lord. Help us be the daily servant you'd have us to be as we go about your work in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Lord, to live our lives in the way you'd have us to live it, and to be the example you'd have us to be. We ask you, Lord, to protect us, to watch over us, to keep us safe, Lord, in all of our travels and all of our journeys, and to help us, Lord, as we go about our business, and to bring us back this evening, and to keep us safe, Lord, as we journey. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.